Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 90. In this episode, I'll discuss 6 tips for pharmacists responding to medical emergencies. There is no evidence to support today's show, but I still have a link to the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode90. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community of professionals from around the world collaborating using real-time messaging. I like to think of it as a modern and more convenient version of an email listserv. I invite you to join me and the hundreds of other Pharmacy Nation members there by signing up at pharmacynation.org. After years of working in the central pharmacy, an opportunity arose to go to the floors for code blue and rapid response calls. At the time, I was very nervous. Nothing in my pharmacy training or career prepared me for responding to medical emergencies. I was concerned that I wouldn't have a role on the response team. They had gotten by for a long time without a pharmacist. What could they possibly need one for? I was wondering, what heroic or fantastic thing would I have to do to fit in or to prove my worth to the team? It turns out, it wasn't nearly as challenging as I thought it would be. Now, after years of responding to medical emergencies, I can share these 6 tips. Number 1, just be a pharmacist. I realized that when I did simple pharmacist things, that is when the patient and team benefited from me the most. It turns out, just doing the same things I did when I was in the central pharmacy was more than enough to help everyone out. It might seem to you that you're not doing anything special. Just because it's easy or second nature for you to do doesn't mean that it isn't valuable to your patient or team. Number 2, label medications. Properly labeled syringes and IV lines will help prevent medication errors in the fast-paced scenarios of code blues and rapid responses. You'll need to prepare labels ahead of time so you don't slow down the administration of critical medications. Keeping pre-printed labels in your drug boxes is very helpful. I also keep a roll of medical tape in my lab coat so that I can use that to label syringes and IV lines. In a pinch, I can always tape the syringe and medication vial together. As the IV drips start to pile up, it can be very confusing and time-consuming for the nurse to sort them out. By labeling the IV lines, you can facilitate the nurse getting the right drugs to the patient and working around IV incompatibilities. I place a label near the port closest to the patient, and another label on the section of tubing that is above the smart pump. Be sure to include the drug name, the date, and time the IV infusion was hung on the label so the nurse can change the tubing at the appropriate time. Number 3, provide medications in the most ready-to-administer form. For IV infusions, this means to prime IV tubing. You can have a nurse show you how if you've never done it before, and label the lines. And for IV push medications, give the nurse a primed saline flush and an alcohol swab along with a labeled syringe of the medications. Tip number 4 is to grease the wheels within your own department. Sometimes the team will need some unconventional therapies to help the patient. Think IV push TPA or methylene blue. You'll know just who to call in the central pharmacy and what to say to get the ball rolling and the medication dispensed in a timely manner. Number 5, learn about the non-pharmacy tools of the trade. Take some time outside of an emergency scenario to learn about these non-pharmacy tools of the trade. If your hospital has a clinical nurse educator, seek them out. They probably have access to a training version of a code cart and would be happy to go over it with you. When I'm not doing something with medications at an emergency, I can still assist by being an extra pair of hands. Take the time to learn things like, what does an end-tidal CO2 detector look like? What drawer is an IV start kit kept in? Where's the on switch for the defibrillator? And tip number 6 is to expect some false alarms. Housekeeping might accidentally hit the code button. A patient may have fainted and be alert and talkative by the time the code team arrives. Or a floor nurse might call a rapid response on a patient that doesn't seem to have anything wrong. Whatever the cause, it is important to never speak negatively about a false alarm, code, or rapid. If others overhear such talk, they may be hesitant to make the call for help in the future when they actually need it out of shame or embarrassment. Think of the model that the cardiac cath lab employs to be on call 24/7 for STEMI patients. The cath lab team knows that once in a while, the EKG will have been misread, and when they are called in at 3 a.m., the patient won't need to go to the cath lab. Rather than shaming the ED or EMS team for not getting the call right, they smile and turn around, knowing that if they do anything negative, the same doc might be hesitant to call the team in again. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.